You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
What's up, Rudy? Schmodown fans, welcome to the only show that matters. Welcome to the Schmodown Rundown, the official episode of Rudy Kibbe Schmodown. My name is Brad Gilmore, but you might know me by another name. You might know me as Kalapaki Gil. You might know me as The Boat. That's right, I am here in beautiful Hawaii, Kauai, and I am joined as always by King Steph Sabraw. Steph, how are
hey.
You?
Okay, you just really made yourself the GOAT by making this stream work on your honeymoon with your hottie wifey in a car with the Hawaiian flowers in the background and your whole fit. It's just like, it's so great. What a commitment to the only show that matters.
I'm committed.
He just made the ultimate commitment.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Ooh.
Hey.
As always, the man who is so happy that I'm in a car because I can't use the soundbite this week, he is Frankie Numbers Janice.
Yo, can you honk the horn for me? Can you honk the horn?
Honk the horn? Honk the horn? No, that might. Somebody, you know, I don't want anybody throwing anything at us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
True.
Craziest thing about Hawaii, I'll tell y'all this because I don't know when my service is going to break. Craziest thing about Hawaii are the signs on the street. Like, you have to be careful of an albatross crossing. You have to be careful of falling rocks, falling coconuts, goat and cow crossings. And the thing about Kauai is chickens are aplenty. You know, really, there are chickens everywhere. Wild chickens run the streets of Kauai.
That makes sense, yeah.
Is your seat reclined?
Okay, I think, Brad,
we love you. Yeah. Congratulations, happy couple. We'll see you on the other side.
All right, that was Mr. and Mrs. Gilmore from all the way from Kauai.
See you on the side, Frizz.
Okay, there it is. All right. Okay. Well, what Brad didn't mention, because he didn't really have time or the bandwidth, apparently, we are going to be talking to the appointment. Nick Harley and Ethan Irwin are going to be joining us on the show a little bit later. But, Steph, we do have some news to talk about that broke over the week, earlier in the week, or last week, I guess that would be now since it's Monday. Patreon. She went on Patreon. They updated the whole Patreon and kind of trimmed it down. There's two tiers now. There's a $5 tier and a $12 tier. There's some qualifications based on if you were at a $10 level before and all that stuff. So if you're were at a previous level and want to know more what happens to your level, go over to the Schmodown Patreon, patreon.com/schmodown, and it has more details there. But Steph, one of the bigger things that actually happened with this update was the announcement that the Star Wars Division would be back. However, it will be Patreon exclusive only at the $12 tier, or if you're grandfathered in by the $10 tier or whatever else is going on over there. But again, the big news is that Star Wars Division is back. There's been a lot of talk throughout the course of this season already about what's going to happen with Star Wars, when are we going to see them. And well, now we have our answer, Steph, and it's going to be digital matches, Patreon exclusive. What do we think about this announcement, Steph? And, you know, how do we expect the Star Wars Division to proceed?
I'm curious. I think that the competitors will lead the way. They're some of the coolest, most talented competitors in the entire league exist in the Star Wars Division. So I think that they'll acclimate and make it as cool as possible. I guess I'm just excited to see how it goes. I think that's very cool for patrons to get an exclusive viewing of one of the most competitive divisions in anything. Yeah. So that's going to be dope for them to be able to watch things that they can only watch. I think it will tighten the community, but it will be cool to see it unfold.
Yeah. And I think, you know, something else announced in that announcement was that, you know, all of this is going to matter, you know, records and everything like that. And when we have a title match specifically for Star Wars, obviously here, those will be not on Patreon. Those will be on a Titans episode. So you don't have to worry about not seeing a Star Wars title match. You just won't be able to see some of the other preliminary matches before that if you're not part of that Patreon tier. So you will be getting the title matches, which I think is everyone really wants to see those, because that has delivered some of the best matches we've ever seen. Obviously, 5150 and all that stuff, and Thomas Harper at Spectacular, right, last season. So have no fear if you're wondering, will you ever see any Star Wars? You will, and you'll see the big ones. That is the title matches, so you're going to get that on Titans. Also, I guess part of this announcement as well is that, you know, to start the year, we had a pay-per-view with Smets and Chandra as the main event, and then not too long ago as the main event was Marisol McKee and Sam Levine for the singles title match. Now, those were pay-per-view Friday Night Titan episodes, and those would air publicly a week later. But in this announcement, it was decided that no Titans episode is going to be behind a pay-per-view type of wall anymore. And so I think that's really great because, you know, I love the Schmodown, and I've loved it for a long time. And when I looked at the episode, I'm a numbers guy, Steph, so I don't know if you looked at this, but when I went
no
to
No way, that, you like numbers?
A little bit.
Whoa!
Yeah. You wouldn't really know it by my sound bites the past couple of weeks, but it's true. the views on that episode were lower than every other like Titans episode before then. I just didn't. It sucked to see, because it was obviously one of, if not the best title match in the history of the game. And I don't know if I don't know what the reason was, but I felt like maybe there was some kind of, you know, barrier there for the audience, you know, because then, you know, we talk about it on the after shows, and then that episode gets spliced out into a couple different videos throughout the next week, and then it's another week later that goes public for everyone else to view, and maybe it's kind of lost a little bit luster. Everyone's heard the result, and so I don't know what the case is. I'm just happy that everything is going to be out there for the viewing public, aside from the Star Wars, which is its own separate thing, really. So I'm glad to see that change. I think that's a really great one, and I hope, you know, it can, when we have these big title matches, it can draw in more of an audience at that time, because I think that's when the Schmodown is at its best, is when the community all comes together at one point and is able to enjoy it. And that's evidenced by like the live shows and everything, you know, that we've done in the past like that, when the whole community comes together at one point, you know, less like Spectacular. I mean, that was a massive event. Everyone was there. It was a great time. And I hope that, you know, with these big title matches, you know, not behind a pay-per-view type of thing, we get a bigger audience and more dialogue, more stuff to talk about. I always love to talk Schmodown. So I think it's a great change, Steph.
Yeah, I agree. I am so with you that when everyone can be involved, it's at its strongest. I think that that's what makes the Schmodown so dope and what makes the community even cooler is that they're separate beings but work best as a collective. So I think these are great changes. And I love Rachel Cushing even said it in today's episode of Friday night that she loves how the Schmodown just continues to evolve since the first day that she entered it. And I think that's important. And the reason why it's had continued success and growth is because it changes. And hopefully this will be another great change.
Yeah, absolutely. And one other thing that was announced on Titans was the free-for-all date. It's happening April 3rd.
Yeah.
Now that is a pay-per-view event. And Collision and Spectacular and things of that nature are going to be a pay-per-view type of event, but those will be the only ones from here on out, as I understood the update. So if you want to watch the free-for-all, if you're not at the $12 level on Patreon, you can purchase it separately. I forget how much it is. I think it's like 15 bucks. But the free-for-all is like one of the biggest events that we get every year. It's a fan favorite. Everyone loves a free-for-all.
So
I always
fun.
Show people who've never seen the Schmodown and say, watch the free-for-all event. You'll get a real good understanding of what it is. It's always fun to watch, you know. So I'm really looking forward to April 30th, Steph.
Yeah, me too. I love the free-for-all. Because you know I'm newer to the community, but that was like definitely one of the things where I'm like, what? This is madness. Yeah. And it's so fun. Which I love, you know, your girl loves fun. So I'm so excited to see it.
And there'll be 40 competitors. You know, you never know who's going to show up because this year.
That's nuts.
Yeah, because this year, you know, anything can happen. We've already seen Team Action reunite. I never thought we'd see Andrew Guy play a match again. Who's going to show up at the free for all that hasn't played in a while? Maybe. I mean, there's so many different type of possibilities with an event like the free for all where you don't always.
You know better than anyone, but I feel like just as a viewer of the free-for-all, it is so random of like who does better in those situations, what year it is, like how it goes down, who they're playing, anything. Usually in the Schmodown, anything can happen, but I feel like the free-for-all is like the epitome of anything can happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things I do love that the community does, whenever we put out the poster for the free-for-all, everyone's looking at the faces on the poster and saying, okay, are they saying that this person's going to be there? Because it's not necessarily true. You know, you can have someone up there and they're not in the free-for-all. And that's kind of the beauty of the free-for-all. It's always a surprise when someone's number is called. You never know who's going to show up, and you never know when they're going to show up. That's even more fun when someone shows up because, let's say, it's a heavy hitter and we're on number 30. You go, oh, they could have a real shot at it, but then two rounds later, they get knocked out. So you just really never know, and that's honestly the best part about free-for-all, one of the best parts about free-for-all. So I'm really looking forward to the 30th. It's right around the corner, right before you know it, Steph. So if you're not at the $12 tier, I know it sounds like I'm shilling it out, but I'm just telling you how you can get it.
Your
$12
show.
Tier. Yeah, it's true. The $12 tier, or you can purchase it for $15 bucks, I think it is. Do it, and because we're going to cover it, obviously, and have a lot of fun talking about it. And I'm just really looking forward to it. So, with all of that said, what do you say we get into this week's, or last Friday's, Friday Night Titans episode? And it opens up with a scene with Kaiser and Smets. And basically what it does here is, you know, Kaiser ends up calling Gucci, and they set up this match with Janine and some type of mystery partner, and they call Gucci, right? And he's like, you know, I saw a Barbarian and Gold Leader walking around. You know, what if we get a match together? And boom, we got a match between the Barbarian and Gold Leader, who's known for Star Wars, right? And now he's playing a team match with Barbarian against Janine and, well, which we would find out eventually, someone named The Database, Steph. What would you think about this matchup to start off Friday Night Titans?
Random, which I love.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
It's so random. Like, every time I was like, who's coming out? I'm so confused. Like, what's it going to be? I think on both sides of the spectrum, it was pretty random, but worked in weird ways. And I know that the desk felt similarly to how I felt watching the match, where at Zach, the gold leader had a few issues, but I feel like he was definitely catching a pace and could be a really great competitor in this division. We know he's a great competitor in Star Wars, and that was clear in his round two. And I am a little bit confused about the repeat.
Do you
think that he, like, you know, when you like second guess it and you're like, did I hear the right title of the movie? Do you think that's what happened?
So, yeah, first of all, right, let's talk about they land on the wild card slice. Right. And I wasn't really sure if they were going to take it, but it's one of the first times, you know, that teams, you know, has landed on a wild card. So you really never know. But I guess I don't know if they figured they had to take it or not, but they did. And they got spinner's choice. And I'm just like, OK, well, they got to take Star Wars, which they do. And yeah, so to go to this point of the repeat. When he requested the repeat, everyone in the audience, and you can kind of hear it on the broadcast as well, was just like, wait, what? Just absolutely no one in a million years expected like that to come out of his mouth. We're just waiting for the answer. Like, here comes the answer. And then he says, yeah, I can repeat the question. And then you even see Barbarian just be like, wait, what are we doing? Like, and so after the match, I feel like this is correct, that he didn't hear it correctly, or he didn't know if he heard it correctly. And so if you're from the Star Wars division, right, there's no way in hell you want to be the player in another division with quote unquote softer Star Wars questions and miss it. Like, you don't want to be that guy, right? And I believe that's why he asked for the repeat, though.
Yeah, because you don't want to miss it. Because that question, I know I am a Star Wars fan, Sith Council, check it out if you haven't already, but I couldn't compete in the Star Wars division. It is, the questions that are asked are unbelievably difficult. This question, it's like, I know Evan could answer this question after 6 days of no sleep. Like, right. I could answer this question in a heartbeat. Like, it wasn't so I was like, okay, either he's like playing into a bit that is risky because the bit involves wasting a JTE, a repeat, or you just like really don't want to screw up a simple question because you might have not heard it right.
Yeah, honestly, for a split second, I thought it was a bit. And then I was like, well, that's a pretty dumb bit. I was like, why would you want to waste the JTE on that? But anyways, they run the board on that one, and obvious, okay, right? We knew that was going to happen. But, you know, I do want to talk about real quick their first round, because Gold Leader, he had 5 points in the first round. Let me pull it up here again. Yeah, he had 5 points in the first round. Barbarian, he goes perfect with the bonus.
Yeah.
So they have 16 for the first round. But let's talk about Janine and her new partner with the dungeon, only known as the Database. And he comes out, not initially with Janine. They bring him out in his own, and he's a rookie. Obviously, we've never seen him before. And he comes out, and he gets a perfect first round. He does miss the bonus, and so Barbarian's got him there. But 10 points for his first round debut here with Janine, who got 9 points as well. So they have 19 points to the exclusives of Barbarian and Gold Leader with 16 points. So it's a 3-point deficit. Not that bad of a deficit, but the way this new player, this new guy, Database, played, we all know about Janine. You know, she can bring it time and time again. So a 3-point deficit, you're like looking like, okay, well, they should win this. And I think when the matchup even happens, you're like, well, Gold Leader, I don't know how good he is in general trivia, but it feels like, you know, it's an uphill battle, and it kind of was here. But again, that second round for them turned everything around. So then when the system, Database, and Janine the Machine, when it was their turn, they spin Frank Capra. They stick with it on the first spin, and then they run the board for the full 10 points there. So now it's 29 to 26, still a 3-point gap. If it wasn't for the Star Wars round, I don't know if if they would have maintained that margin, the 3-point margin, it might have shrunk depending on what the system got. It might have, expanded if the exclusives didn't get Star Wars. So a lot of could have happened there. But nonetheless, mm-hmm. it's a 3-point spread here going into that final round. And this is where, you got this rookie player with a veteran player in Janine. And how is he going to handle this pressure? Because it's still a close game. And goal leader, he gets a 2-pointer. Barbarian gets a 3-pointer, right? Janine, she gets the 2-pointer. And then the database, he gets an animated question, which was, I have it right here. Dakota Fanning voices the title character in what 2000s animated film from director Henry Selick? The answer was Coraline. He took a bit there to come up with the answer or to say the answer. So I was kind of wondering, what's, trying to feel out what is his tactic? Does he take his time?
Yeah.
Does he jump the gun? What was it like watching this new player stuff, trying to figure out, how he plays the game?
It was so interesting because, first of all, I just have to say, his post-match interview was like sealed the deal of, I want to pocket his energy for the rest sure. of my life. Because that's why I love the Schmodown. Like, how excited he was that he got that dub and that he's now a part of the Schmodown. He's now already gained some street cred. And now he's partnered with Janine, who, like, I know we're focused on him because he's a newcomer and absolutely smashed it. But Janine killed it. Yeah. And Janine deserves a great partner. So I'm so excited about this partnership. This just feels like it could be really great. They look like they genuinely like each other, even though there was definitely like they're figuring each other out. But there's a good connection there. And I think that they pick up where the other might not have as high of a strength. The other will be there. That's kind of the feel I got. But from the get, I was like, okay, like he had a perfect first round. I wonder if that was just like, just a great first round, but then the second and third round, he was equally consistent, in my opinion. And so, obviously, you have to wait and see what a competitor does after their first match. And we know that this game is constantly changing. So, not one, not two match, not three matches really matter in terms of legacy. You have to just keep doing well. But if the first match is any indication of his future, I really can't wait to watch it.
Yeah, not just his future, but this team's future with Janine, right? Mm-hmm. Because in totality, they end up getting the win. And I do want to talk about this, their 5-pointer. Because their question here in the category of Oscars was, Jack Nicholson received his first Best Leading Actor nomination for what 1970 film? To me, a lot of players, they study Oscars and, they know all the winners from every year, best pictures, best actor, best actress, all of this, who won, for the score and all that stuff. They know all of this. They know all of that. That's kind of like where you start with Oscars. Who won, right? Very rarely, I think, we do get these questions, but I think maybe not as enough attention is paid to how many nominations and when did they get nominated? Like, when was their first nomination? We're talking about Jack Nicholson, one of the most iconic actors of our time, and we're asking about when was his first nomination? Like, that's tough. That's tough when you're talking about a nomination because you're like, well, he was in a lot of great movies, and you look at the 70s and go, well, it could be a number of things, and he was great in all of them, but which one did he get nominated for? And you really have to, I think, have studied that or know that or even somewhat narrow it down to figure out that answer. And to kind of jump ahead to the main event match with the appointment, they got a Jack Nicholson question too, but it was about when did he get his first win? And it was also in the 70s, and it was One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, And so that type of question is much easier than when did he first get nominated. We're not even talking about when he first won. We're talking about when he got first nominated. So that meant he didn't even win. More or less, right? So I thought this was an extremely hard question. They burn a lot, not burn, but they use all their repeats on this question. And I got to tell you, being in that room, you're just like, do they know this? I mean, maybe they know it. I don't know. They're doing a lot of talking, a lot of conversing back and forth. it seems like maybe they're in the ballpark. You don't really know because, you know, you're sitting in the audience. And then when they say the answer, five easy pieces, and you're just standing there like, is that right? Because I have no idea. And a lot of people in the audience weren't really sure either. And then they get the win. I mean, it's an incredible moment, especially for a rookie debut for the database. And just a big win for Janine, everything she's gone through with the stars and all that, getting, you know, pushed out by them and betrayed. She goes to the dungeon, and she gets a win her first time out as part of this team. So it was a great moment, a great pull, insane pull if you ask me. What was it like, Steph, watching that final, those final moments? Because I think we're all cheering for them, right? You know, who cares about Gucci and Barbarian and the Gold Leader? We want to see Janine win.
I'm on the Janine train. So right. I think you have to be crazy to not want to watch this woman win, because she just has it going on, and she's really talented, and I just want her to get the wins. You know, she gets so close so often, and so it's really great to see this, and I hope that this is just kind of like a little image or peek into her future. But I do like Gucci as a manager, and I do like the entire faction. Like I can't lie, I think it takes like a lot of grit for players that specialize in one division to come into other divisions, because it's stressful. Like, you're not just playing randoms in movie trivia. You're playing the best of the best in the world. So I respect Evan for giving it a whirl, shall we say. So I have to say that, but I will say it feels really good to watch them win. It was a really great match that I wasn't expecting to be that fulfilling, but it gave me everything it needed to give. It was really giving out there, and I just love to watch Janine win.
And I think, you know, watching, you know, speaking towards Gold Leader, you know, come from Star Wars into teams, you don't really know how it's going to go and what's their level of knowledge. But I thought he was great. And, you know, he's someone who entered the Schmodown during the digital age, right? So, and this is his first time in studio. And his first time in studio is not even a Star Wars match, you know? And I thought he was great. His banter, his back and forth, some of his quips were great.
Barbarian also, I thought, was really, ironically, because Leader isn't Gold Leader's name, but I feel like he was a really great team leader. Barbarian and Elvis. I thought that he handled like not knowing what the JTE situation was in that round two question really well. Because at first he was confused, and then he just had such a good attitude about it. And I thought that's great, because while there is a lot of pressure, it's supposed to be fun. So it ended up not being a big deal at all in terms of how the rest of the match went down. So, and I thought he had a really impressive match, you know, going perfect in round one and just doing really well. So maybe we'll see how they do in the future.
Yeah, and this one other point, and I've seen it about Liz Shannon Miller and Brandon Hannah as a team. Some people were like, why is Liz Shannon Miller teaming up with Brandon Hannah? She's this great player. Her teammate last year was Ethan Irwin. You know, she can play for a team title. You know, she's really good. Why is she being, you know, saddled with Brandon Hannah? And, you know, I can see, you know, people are, you can say the same thing about Barbarian and Gold Leader. It's like, why would he team with Gold Leader? He doesn't, you know, his Star Wars, how can he transfer over to teams? You know, Barbarian deserves a really great partner. And to all that I say, who cares? It's all about having the fun. It's all about having the fun. If Liz Shannon Miller and Barbarian did not want to be teamed up with Brandon or a Gold Leader, it probably wouldn't have happened. They signed off on it, and they're like, yeah, I'm doing this for fun. Like, they want, like, yes, they want to win. They want to win, sure. But do you think they were just like, you know, this is it or nothing? No, and sometimes it's, you know, based on, you know, who's available as well. But at the same time, it's like they could have said, yeah, it's okay, and then, you know, then they don't play. But they want to play and they want to have fun. And so I love seeing these kind of random team matchups. You know, which we got more of in the next match we'll talk about when we have Nick Harley and Ethan Irwin on in a little bit.
I agree with you, Frankie, yeah. though. It's about who you play best with. You know, we saw Dan Merle and Ben Bateman pair up, and I think they had some great matches, but it didn't end up in a championship. And so it's like, we don't know the answer to success. It's not just pairing up with a champion. That's not how it goes. You know, it's about synergy and how you play together. Like, you know, you've ever been in a conversation with someone, even if we're not comparing it to matches, like some people you can banter on and on with and your mind is just firing off. And some people make me feel like I'm dead. And I'm like, brain activity is not there. So it really is about how it works as a cohesive partnership.
And I think with Goal Leader Barbarian or whether it's with Liz Shannon Miller and Brandon, I think those teams operate really, really well together. I know it's just one match for each of them, but I felt like they just operate really well together, and that goes to show you how well they mesh together and how they operate together. So, you know, I know some people are going to be out there like, oh, Barbarian needs a better partner, and, you know, he's never going to get a team's belt. Maybe not. Maybe not. And that's okay. And that's okay, because Barbarian's going to be just fine in singles. I know you had a heartbreaking loss early in the year to Sam Levine, but those are the types of matches he wants to be in to begin with.
Yeah.
And those are the high-level matches, right, going for belts. And maybe he'll show up in Inner Geekdom. Who knows? He's dabbled in that in the past. So it's not like, you know, he's been put out to pasture or anything like that because he's, quote-unquote, saddled with Goal Leader. No, I think Goal Leader offers a lot in ways that we just haven't yet been able to see because he's only played one team match. So I do look forward to seeing if they come back around. But to that end, after this match, there was a scene with Gucci, and he's on the phone with Barbarian, and he's like, Gucci's basically saying, we need some changes. We need to change some stuff up, Steph. So what do you think this is about? Because I really don't know.
I don't know. With Gucci, it could be anything from outfits to people that are on your team who you're competing with. So it really could be anything. It could be like the next concert or Super Bowl that they're going to. I don't know, but I was thinking I was going to ask you the same question. I'm like, let's just like think about possibilities. He doesn't like the way him and Gold Leader played together. Let's go down that rabbit hole.
Sure.
Do you foresee another partner for Barbarian?
I mean, I don't know, because now, so presumably King Arthur of Griffey Nooms and King Khan, you know, that's a team, you know, they're in the rankings right now, but their availability has not been great, so they haven't played. I don't know if it's alluding to that, if it's alluding to somebody else on the squad, if it's alluding to what you just talked about, Goalie and Barbarian staying a team, who knows? I don't know, maybe Gucci just wants a different catchphrase this year. Who knows? I really don't know, and so it could be many things. You know, it could be set up to be some major dramatic thing, and it turns out to be like, you know what, from now on I'm not ordering from that pizza place. Like, that could be like the change that Gucci's like talking about, and then everyone's just like, wait, what? So it really could be a number of things, Steph. Who knows with that guy? Who knows? All right. So before we get into this next match, well, to talk about the next match, let's talk about who was in it. Let's talk with who was in it. Ethan Irwin and Nick Harley, how you guys doing?
How am I doing? How am I doing? Not how are you guys doing? Because Mr. Irwin is not here.
All right.
And I'll tell you why he's not here, Frank. It's because someone disrespected Mr. Irwin for the entirety of this program. So Mr. Irwin decided that he's not going to appear on your show tonight. Sorry, Frank.
Wait, who got me? What happened,
Steph, is that you were perfectly polite. You spoke about Mr. Irwin by using the name that he would prefer to go by in a professional setting. You don't, Frank, you're not Mr. Irwin's close personal friend. You must use the formal greeting. It is Mr. Irwin to you, okay? And until you get that through your thick skull, until all of you out there, every single after show that wants Mr. Irwin to appear, and until you on your program start referring to Mr. Irwin as Mr. Irwin, he will not be making any scheduled media appearances.
Okay.
Everybody got it?
All right. Yeah, that's
great.
Thank you,
Steph. Thank you, Steph, for being respectful. I appreciate it.
I get it, Frank. We have to call him by what he's asked.
I get it.
Yeah,
get it. All right. It's just, it's, you know, all last year and the year before that and the year before that and the year before that. I've just always been calling him Ethan Irwin.
This is the last time. But we thank you, Nick, for coming on the show.
Well, you're welcome.
Okay. Well, with all of that out of the way, again, sorry to Mr. Irwin or whatever. Nick, you know, you've had an interesting...
I don't feel like your apology is sincere. So would you like a take two on that, Frank?
Frank.
So, Nick, I think, you know, you've had an interesting start to the year, you know, still staying with Roxy. But you dumped Jacoby in favor of the Stars. Why go against Jacoby? What happened between you and Jacoby and the Stars? What's going on? Why drop Jacoby? He seems like the nicest guy ever. I don't understand.
Listen, Frank, you know, because I like you. I like you.
Oh, you do?
I'll give you a scoop. I'll give you a little scoop here.
I love the
Kobe
team.
Kobe Bancroft. Good player. Good player.
Kobe. Yeah.
Yeah, Kobe. That's what I said. Kobe, good player. You know what the problem is? The reason that I could not be on the same team as Kobe Bancroft, you want to know why? It's because he's so tall. I mean, what am I supposed to do in a team's match, Frank? Am I supposed to get a little stepladder out and climb up so I can whisper some strategy into his ear? What am I supposed to do? Okay, when you put him in the same frame as me, it makes me look as short as Paige Fabbretti. And I am 5'11", I will tell you. 5'11 out there. I know it matters. Yeah, I am. Wow. And you stand next to Jacoby Bancroft, though. You're looking like I said, like the Boston the Boston whoever she is. You're looking like that. You're looking very short. I can't have that. I can't have that for my image. Okay, so, you know, I had to say goodbye to Tall McCartney. And I had to go out, and I wasn't going to make a lateral move with another teammate. I was going to get the best possible teammate that I could. And I did. I got the champ, the two-time champ, Ethan Irwin, Mr. Irwin to all of you out there, watching.
Okay. It's interesting that you talk about, you know, respect and calling people what they want to be called, because I'm pretty sure, you know, Jacoby Bancroft, that's his name. So if you want to show him some respect, I think that'd be very nice on your part.
All right. Jacoby was a great teammate, great player. As I said, wish him the best of luck. But I'm on to bigger and better things. Do you think that – all right, sure. What's your next
Steph,
question?
Why don't you talk to him? Because clearly
– yeah, I need to intervene. And Frankie, I know that you might not love that I'm saying this. And Nick, I am saying this as a compliment. You're such a jerk, but it works for you. A lot of people try to pull off the jerk card in the Schmodown, and it doesn't work because it's not genuine. And you're giving big, genuine jerk energy. And I've got to say, I'm digging it. I'm not saying that I love all of the decisions you've made, the names that you're mispronouncing, but I'm digging up the tea you're stirring because you're coming out with the dubs too. Like, you're talking it, but you're backing it up. And I want to talk about this first match that you had, because there was a lot of people being like, why Nick Harley? Why Nick Harley? But what is how do you feel now that you got that dub? Like, does that shut up the naysayers? Did you ever have anything to prove?
Look, everyone out there, I know what they're saying. Why Nick Harley? Why would Mr. Irwin decide to team with that scoundrel, Nick Harley? And I'll tell you what, Steph, certain people, and you know this, certain people, they just have an it factor. They just have a watchability about them. You know what it's like. See, Frank doesn't know what that's like. Frank will never know what that's like. Frank is like a glorified Excel spreadsheet. Okay. Mm-hmm. He comes out here with the numbers, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. You know, I'm really disappointed to see that the boat, Brad Gilmore, isn't here, because I would have loved a real journalist in the building instead of my guy Frankie Numbers over here. But Steph, back to your question. You asked me, why me? Why me? Mr. Irwin could have chosen anybody.
Yeah.
But he saw the acumen that I bring, the knowledge, and the overall flair. You heard him in the post interview. Something about me reminds him of himself. And I'm just here to bring that little part that's inside Ethan Irwin out even more. That's what I've been brought here to do, and that's what I've been doing. And I think I've been doing a pretty good job. I mean, we got the W. Sure, it was over the Masked Man and Eric Zipper, but, you know, I don't book the matches. We came out there, and we delivered, okay? What more can I say?
All right, Nick, so I kind of actually want to get into your, you know, your play with Mr. Irwin and how that, you know, differs from playing with Jacoby Bancroft. You know, what's it been like to work with someone like Mr. Irwin, who is a former singles champion and has been in big matches before and has been in this league for quite some time, as opposed to playing with Jacoby Bancroft last season, who's pretty good in his own right, right? So what's that, you know, been like to transition from Jacoby Bancroft to Mr. Irwin?
Let me try to understand your question here, okay? Let me try to understand what you're asking. You're asking me, what's it like to play with a visionary, a genius, a Hollywood icon, Mr. Irwin, a champion, one of the best, in my opinion, the absolute best player in the Schmodown any given Schmo day, versus playing with Jacoby Bancroft, who just lost a singles match? You're asking me, what's the difference?
Yeah, it seems like you understood
know.
The question.
I don't know. You tell me.
I'm asking you the question, Nick. What's it been like to work with someone like that?
It's beautiful, okay? It's like someone – I said it in the match. It's like someone sharing my brain with me. Finally, I have found an equal, someone that has the same intellect, the same knowledge that I possess. And it's beautiful to talk to someone and feel understood. I mean – I don't know, when you talk to your computer at night, Frank, maybe you understand what that feels like, but it's just wonderful to work with someone who just has such a similar energy and knowledge base. It's really a beautiful thing.
Speaking of similar energies, it feels like all of the stars are drinking the same lemonade. There's the same vibe going down, but I want to know from you, your experience now being on the squad. How is it like working with Roxy? Is it as badass as it looks on screen? Is it as troublesome as it looks on screen?
That's a word. Yeah, troublesome. That's definitely a word.
Listen,
I would use.
Troublesome is not the word that I would use. Is it as fun as it looks? Is it as cool as it looks? Yes, it is. It really is. Roxy is the best manager in the Schmodown. I don't have to say that. The real smart people out there know. The real smart people. I'm talking about, you know, those people in Reddit. Did you guys know this? That I am actually a moderator of the Schmodown Reddit. Did you guys know that? They made me a mod. See, yeah, because I'm their favorite competitor. I'm their favorite. There's posts every single day. Slick Nick. We love Slick Nick. He's our favorite. He's the people's champ. He's the speaker of the people. And it's
I think we're looking at different subreddits. But
no, that subreddit. Listen, those guys, they love me. I am their champion. I think I show the best values of the Schmodown Reddit. What I really like to do is I like to take the Schmodown Reddit and I try to take the very best they have to offer. And that's what I bring to the table when I show up in a match in the Schmodown. But, you know, back to your question, Seth. Roxy, she is fantastic. She's a master strategist. She's a goat whisperer, if you will, because she can just, you know, Mr. Irwin, myself, Chundru, you know, real champions. She knows how to be in the ear of a champion and be helpful and not distracting, okay? And not just saying nonsense. you know, you need someone that knows what it's like to feel like a champion to be able to coach a champion. And if you look around at the rest of the managers in the Schmodown, I don't see a lot of championship material. Okay. It's just plain and simple.
Let me ask you about this though, because, you know, who do you trust? Who do you trust this year?
Who do I trust? I trust
because, yeah,
the bank. Trust? I trust the stock market. I trust myself. Okay. I trust my own knowledge and intuition. And right now, my knowledge and intuition is telling me I have the best teammate in the league. I have the best faction in the league. And we are all three of us.
You trust your teammate?
Holding belts. I do. I trust all
you
my
do?
Teammates.
Because that's interesting because very clearly I hear all the time Roxy saying, don't trust anyone. Don't trust anyone.
Don't trust anyone is code for losers, Frank. And of course, you wouldn't know that because you are a loser.
Whoa.
Sorry, Steph. I'm sorry that I'm being so aggressive. I apologize. It's probably uncomfortable for you to sit here as I completely emasculate Frank in front of you. I'm sorry.
You shouldn't really use words you can't spell. So look, Nick. What I also want to know here is real quick, because I kind of picked this up during the broadcast, and everyone loves this guy. And so I don't even know where this is coming from. I'm talking about Mark Ellis. Right?
You seem Mark very... Ellis, okay.
You seem very confrontational with him, and I just don't understand.
Now you're just trying to upset me. Listen, here's all that I will say about, you know, Mark Ellis, okay? Why do people love Mark Ellis so much? I don't understand. Why do people love him so much? Okay, he comes out, he reads the questions, he occasionally doesn't mess up the names. You know who else can read and occasionally doesn't mess up with their reading? My five-year-old niece, okay? And I don't see everyone in the YouTube comments talking about how much they love how good she is. And you know what? She reads Dr. Seuss books, Frank. Those rhyme. Okay, call me next time that Mark Ellis is able to get out a real tongue twister on the air, all right? And then maybe I'll be impressed and I'll be just as happy with him as all the other fans seem to be for doing the bare minimum, okay? And that's all I have to say about that. Next question.
All right. Well,
are we okay?
Seth, yeah,
so
what do you got?
I want to know a few things while we have you here. One, it feels like there is a path of destruction, and maybe it will lead to championships for you all. But it is a destructive path that you're taking. You've taken up arms with Frankie today, and Mark, and basically the.
I like Frank. I told him I like you, Frank.
That feels genuine. Yeah.
So the path that you're taking, it's a path. That's what I'm trying to say. And I just want to know what is this the energy that we can expect from the Stars and from you the entire season when you're looking at the matches that you have next with or without Mr. Irwin?
Yeah, I would say that the vibe that I emanate is the same vibe that is percolating around the Stars. Okay. It's really just a beautiful
all
thing to behold
together.
Because we're all just on the same page. It's like we're speaking a different language that we all know. Okay. And it's a secret language that only winners know. And the reason that people like Frank have trouble deciphering it is because he's not a winner. He doesn't know what it's like. And it's not your fault. Some people are just born special. I'm one of those people. Mr. Irwin is one of those people. Okay. Chandru, the Chosen, is clearly one of those people. But not everyone is. Jacoby Bancroft, who's to say? I don't know.
All right.
I would talk it out with him. But like I said, I'd have to get a ladder up and... get up there and say, sorry, Jacoby, I wanted to talk to you face to face. What did you have to say?
I really honestly never thought we'd see the day of height shaming people. This is really just a new thing to me. Nick,
tall people. It's kind of a fun twist.
You know, everyone loves a tall person until they go to a concert. And then you'd wish that person would die, okay?
You know what, actually,
Nick is talking my language now because the villain of my life has become tall people at concerts, and you really, that's a truth. He just spoke a truth.
You know what? Unfortunately, I do have to agree with that.
Yeah. Everybody wants to be so tall until they got to sit economy in an airplane.
Right.
And then is it sweet? Is it so cool that you're so tall? You freak.
All right. Well, Nick, you know, I want to thank you for your time. You know, I'm sorry that Mr. Irwin.
We're sorry too. He was so excited. He hasn't given a good interview in a long time. Then he found out that Brad Gilmore wasn't going to be here. So then that I think also affected his decision too. So
Okay. Well, does he know that Brad is off getting married? That he got married?
He's in Hawaii, but who knows if he'll ever come back? Ezra Miller's on the loose down there.
All right. I think, okay, that's enough. Nick, thanks a lot for having you come on here and say the words that you did.
It's been a journey.
It has been a journey, and maybe, you know.
Next time, bring a water bottle, okay? Maybe you'll keep up.
Okay. All right, Nick. All right. Have a good one. All right. Well, we didn't have Ethan or I'm sorry, Mr.
Frankie, we got to get it right.
Apparently. So, you know what? That's my bad. I'll take the blame on that one. Should have known.
The confusing part is he said he likes you.
That's what Nick said, but I guess Mr. Irwin doesn't. I don't know.
I don't know.
And Brad wasn't here either, so that was just, you know, two strikes, three. I don't know. Anyways, interesting stuff from Nick Harley nonetheless. But let's just touch on this match a little bit here, Steph, because I want to look at who they played, which was Adam Gertler and Eric Zipper. Again, just a weird combination of people I never expected to see, but had a really good time watching them play. Don't know if they'll be back again. You know, Adam Gertler, 5 points in the first round, not desirable, but you know, it was still fun nonetheless with when that Lucha, you know, the whole mask thing going on there. But Zip, he had 8 points, always a steady player, just one of the most, honestly, one of the most underrated players we have in the Schmodown. The guy's really good, just can never quite get over the hump for whatever reason, but he's always a solid player and always great to watch. And then Ethan, Mr. Irwin, oh my gosh, Mr. Irwin and Nick Harley, Irwin goes 9 points. Harley has 8 points. So 17-13 lead for them in that first round. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of all they really needed. Top dogs, which was Adam Gertler and Eric Zipper. They spin away from the Marshals and end up on Sly and Arnie, which is one of the oldest Schmodown categories in the game. It stems all the way back from season one. This category has been around for a long time. They do all right there. They pick up 7 points. And the appointment, you know, they deferred, but, you know, we talked about their Jack Nicholson category, and earlier in the show, we talked about that one flew over the cuckoo's nest question, but they almost run the table on this category. They still pick up 8 points. They did get a 2-point steal off the top dogs, and they only need to go to their 3-pointer in the final round to win this match, Steph. Didn't have to touch the five, didn't have to entertain it, because they were up 7 coming into that final round, and Mr. Irwin delivers the W with that 3-pointer. They're now 1-0, and they look like a pretty formidable team for the Stars and Roxy and company over there, Steph.
Definitely. They look like a great team, and I think that even though it was kind of hard to swallow what was happening and how it went down in terms of this team with Mr. Irwin, it works. And it's premature to say we need to see more matches, but it worked. It definitely worked this match for this to be their first match together. Mr. Irwin said in the post-match interview with Jen that this was their first day meeting and they already felt connected. That's cool. You got to hold on to those types of connections. The chemistry doesn't lie. But I got to say, Adam Gertler was wildly entertaining. I don't think that's what he intended. I'm not sure what he intended. I couldn't see a single face expression. But I know that there was moments where I was like laughing out loud. And then I thought about, why am I laughing out loud? Like, he didn't even say anything. But something about it was so absurd. And then to know Zipper, when asked if he's being held hostage, confirmed he was being held hostage.
Or did he? I don't know. He had too many blinks. Too many blinks.
I don't know what too many blinks. I was like looking up, like, how do you know if someone's kidnapped? Like, am I missing it? Like, I like to be in the know of these things just in case one day it happens to me. Do I blink three times? Does that like say something else? But yeah, in terms of chemistry on that side of things, didn't seem like it was the perfect match. Although Adam Gertler is pretty persistent with the few words he said about their friendship.
Yeah, it was, again, very, very interesting pairing. I'm not even really sure how it all came together, why it came together. It wasn't really that bad for just these, you know, these random team-ups. 32-30 is the final score. The appointment missed four questions on the day. There were 24 of 28. That's an accuracy rate of 86%. So a pretty solid debut. Mind you, is it as good as the system's debut against the exclusive? No, because the system went 27 of 29. So just slightly, you know, better than the appointment. But nonetheless, the system, the appointment, these two teams that we got today in Friday Night Titans, I think you got to keep a lookout for them, what they can possibly do in future matches. You know, can they get on a title hunt? Perhaps, you know, remains to be seen, but I would not be shocked to see if these two teams even played each other somewhere down the line. I don't think you match them up in their second, you know, match for both teams. I think maybe a
build
third
it
match.
Up. Build,
yeah,
it,
build
up.
It up. Exactly. And plus
there's so
other
much tension.
Yeah. Exactly. And there's other teams out there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I want to see both of these teams compete against other teams to see really how well they're going to last and grow as teams. But then when we get a Janine and Mr. Irwin face to face off with their new team members, woo!
That's
you
what
know
I'm talking about.
Frankie, Brad, and I got the popcorn
that's
on
right.
deck.
That's why I think this was such a great episode for Titans, because you did have the undercard, which was Janine and her new partner. Mm-hmm. And then the main event was Mr. Irwin and his new partner, and you're just
brilliant.
Like, ah, and
brilliant.
It's the Stars versus the Dungeon, and it's
brilliant,
you know. So it's really, again, you know, I don't think they'll face each other in their next team matchup, but you're right, we got to build it up to hopefully it comes to a head at some major event where it's, you know, maybe winner gets a number one contender shot, you know, into a match, something like that. But you know, they still got to play more matches. We got a ton of more matches to go. But as this episode wrapped up, you know, sticking with the team division, we saw Shannon talking to Chance, and Chance seemed down on himself. You know, he's like, you brought me here to win matches, to win championships, and I'm not doing that right now. And I just don't know, you know, what good am I to corruption at this point? And Shannon really shot that down. She really shot it down, said, I don't want to hear any of that talk. You're a great player. You've won championships.
Mm-hmm.
You know, told him, you know, hey, you know, we need you. You know, you are good. You played for a title last year. Yeah, you didn't win it, but you are a great player. I love this pep talk from Shannon to Chance, Steph.
Yeah, me too. This is what I'm talking about. Like, Shannon is winning the people over this season, and I don't think it's fake. I think it's genuine, and I think that's really cool. I think one thing no one can take away from Shannon, no matter how you felt about her in the past seasons, is that she's a great manager and she genuinely cares about her competitors. Even when she was a little spicier to other squads, she never lost that integrity with the relationship with her competitors and her. So that's always been a separate entity, but it's cool to see not only like her change of pace this season with other people, but even within her own squad, she's always been supportive, but there's like an added layer of, I don't know, I guess a deeper sense of support.
Yeah.
And I think that might have come from the Coyote and Adam Collins and how that all went down. And it's just looking at your competitors differently and really knowing that you might not always have them, but when you do, you can support them. So I think that was good. And I agreed with her sentiment. And I was, I don't know, like, what would you would have done if you were them? Like, would you take this match knowing that it could be your final match as a team? Like, kind of let the fates decide?
Yeah, you know, this was an interesting, you know, part of the scene was when Mike comes in, you know, and Shannon's like, I can't make this decision for you guys. Mm-hmm. You two got to decide. You know, you guys let me know what you want to do. I'll support you, and you know, I'll tell Christian, and you know, whatever you guys decide. And I think that I thought that was really great, because I think past Shannon may have been like, of course we're going to take the match. We're corruption, you know, we're going to take down these fools, whatever, blah, blah, blah. We almost had them last time, you know, we're going to take, you know, we're going to take this match. And what we saw in the scene, though, was her saying, look, this is your guys, your fate is on the line here. You know, you guys, if you guys lose, you break up. If you win, obviously you dethrone the greatest team of all time in Shazam. And, you know, because Shannon, you know, we have to remember, Shannon didn't join corruption at the start. Mike and Chance were already a team when Shannon more or less kicked out Ken and Grace, and she took over, and then, you know, she started running corruption. And so she wasn't there at the beginning of Mike and Chance as a team. So I thought it was only right and proper for Shannon to say, hey, this is your team. You know, you guys make this decision for yourselves. I'll support you either way. And they decided to take the match. Now, would I have taken the match? Yeah, I would have. And
you would have?
I would have, because it's a direct shot at the belt. You just don't really get that these days in the show. A lot of things have to fall into place, and mm-hmm. one of those things happens to be that we're just restructuring the whole team's division. So with them being one of the most tenured teams, you know, they get this opportunity. Not to mention they're 2-time team champions. They've played Shazam really well in the, you know, this past match last year at Collision, where they just nearly had them, which Mike talked about. He's like, I know we can beat these guys. You know, we've played them when, you know, only one of us is at our best, or, you know, I'm at my best, but you're not, and you are, but I'm not. He's like, this next time, we're both going to be at our best, and we're going to take them down and, you know, claim that belt once again, and not have to worry about breaking up or any of that stuff. So it's kind of as I suspected, that they would be confident in themselves to win against Shazam. But it is a steep price to pay if they do lose the match. That's tough, but given their track record, everything that they've ever fought through, overcome, you know, when they went, they beat the Shire Wolves for the belts initially, you know, so they've done big things. They've played great teams. They've played great before, and they really believe in themselves this next go around. Whenever this is going to be announced, or whenever it's going to be set on, the date will be set for this match. I'm going to be eagerly awaiting this match, because it's going to be, I think, one for the ages again, because Corruption, Shazam, two of the most storied teams in the entire history of the Schmodown. The fact that this is happening, I don't care that how we got to this point. I'm just glad that we are here and that this match is going to happen. Corruption, Shazam 3, sign me up.
Three. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess for the stakes of it all, hell yeah. I mean, sign me up as a viewer. For them, that's a lot of pressure. That's a lot of pressure. But I think that I agree with you. I think if I was in their position, I'd probably be like, this is a cool opportunity to let the fates decide. We can control what we can, like how much we study, how prepared we are. But in terms of what questions get asked and how the match goes down, how Shazam performs, that's out of their control. And then that can decide, you know, maybe it isn't the best fit anymore. Maybe it was good when it was and now no longer. Or maybe it's like this season, reboot, get that little sprinkle of pizzazz in them going, and then we'll see what happens. So, yeah, I can't wait for this match.
Yeah, I mean, I think looking at their last match against them, so close, went to overtime, right, sudden death. Can Corruption beat Shazam? Yes. Do they have the ability? They have the knowledge. They can do it. They're capable of doing it.
What do you think the difference is?
I don't know. Because Corruption is one of these teams that just always grinds out wins. You know, mm-hmm. they don't even have a TKO or a KO to their name, like on their record. They've had to win it without a TKO. They've won every match without a TKO or a KO. You know, a lot of other teams and players, but a lot of other teams, including Shazam, they have some TKOs on their record, some KOs, you know, that they've won by knockout. Corruption is not one of them teams. They've played tough competition time in and time out every time they've gone out there. And they've been successful more often than not, obviously being two-time team champions. So I'm not surprised at their confidence that they can beat Shazam. I don't know if they can. And you asked me what's the difference. I don't know.
Do you think it's a good round one, a good round two?
I mean, yeah, obviously the round one sets the tone.
Yeah.
Sets the tone, really. And Shazam's been lights out in round one, and that's how they usually dominate their matches, and they just kind of, they're able to coast and feed off that round one and take them through the rest of the match and play it on a strategic level and balance it, which is the reason why, you know, they only have two losses to their record right now, with as many defense or, you know, so many defenses right now. But yeah, if Corruption, if they have a perfect first round, like a double perfect first round or double Dewberry, as we say in the business, then they got a real shot. They have as good a shot as you're probably ever going to get against Shazam. If they can do that, you know, they're great in the second round, betting round. We know what Chance can do in the speed round, right? We saw him last time drag Corruption back to get in contention at Collision. And then you just got to get lucky with your five or your three or hell, even your two, you know, so you got to hit everything. I can't wait to see it, Steph. I can't wait to see it.
Me too.
All right. That's going to do it for this week's edition of The Rundown. A lot to talk about. A lot coming up as well. Again, Free For All, April 30th. Make sure you got your means to see that event. It's great. Check out the Patreon to see, you know, the tiers updated and all that stuff if it works for you. And hopefully next week, I think next week we should have Brad back. He's off being married.
Unless he moves to Hawaii.
Oh,
and then we can't blame him, but we'd be sad.
A little bit. You know what? Then I just have a place to go. Stay.
Yeah, that's true. That's the positives I'm looking for, mate.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. All right. I'm Frank Janish. That's Steph Sabra. And we will see you next week on Push Right On Right.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com. Save big money.